Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be here with you on this Friday. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Now, before I tell you about the guests, I want to we want to kick it off with prayer as we do each day. And let's remember, this is really important, our brothers and sisters in Texas who are awaiting the arrival of the hurricane. This is a scary thing for them, but we believe that God can control all things, including the weather. We want to keep them in our prayers, as well as all of our own needs. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the start of a new day. Father, we know that you have big plans for us today, so please use us today to be lights in a world that's often filled with darkness. We know that you depend on us, you use us to spread your good news. So please, we submit ourselves to your will. Use us today. Father, we lift up those who are sick. So many people struggling with illness. We ask you to heal them in the way that is best for them. We ask you also to help anyone struggling financially. We ask you to help those who might be homeless today. Help those who also might be experiencing religious persecution and those who are facing any kind of a weather situation, especially our brothers and sisters in Texas. Father, we ask you to accept our own personal needs, whatever they are. We ask you to handle them for us. And please speak through us on the program today and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here's what we got for you on the program today. Later in the hour, we'll be joined by our friend Father Jim Sitchko. Father Jim is a regular guest on the program. You've heard him many times here before. He's going to help us to find God in the ordinary. And here's what's really cool. Father Jim is coming to the area. He's going to be headed to Cherry Hill, which is just over the bridge, on September the 30th through October the 3rd. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So you'll have the chance to go hear him at a parish mission. Also, the first guest up today is going to be Monica Hannon. She is a news professional. She's been a news anchor for many years in North Dakota, an Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist. She has written a book. It's called The Gift of Death. Whoa, isn't that an interesting title? The Gift of Death, A Message of Comfort and Hope. If you are someone, and I deal with a lot of people who are afraid of dying, it's a common problem. If you're someone that struggles with that, you need to check out what Monica has to say, because she is going to make you feel better. And speaking of making you feel better, on this Friday, here to help start your day off on a positive note, Mr. Dave Parker, good Mr. morning. Frank Eliason in the studio today.
Good morning. I'm back.
Yay. Good to have you back with us, Frank. How were your travels?
Just speaking about humanity and business. And so I did a keynote in Nashville for a healthcare conference.
Nice.
Like to joke with the audience that you just brought in a guy with a banking background and cable talk to you about customer experience.
Whoa.
You know you have problems when.
Yeah, humanity. Well, I mean, some small topics, you know. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome back, Frank.
Yes, it's good to have all of us back here in the studio. It's been a while. And just
exactly.
A reminder, we're going to be taking the week off next week, recharge our batteries a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing best of programs all through next week and Labor Day. So we'll
that
be back
is correct.
The day after Labor Day, September the 5th,
yes.
Which is Tuesday.
Well refreshed.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Ready to go. Right,
oh, yeah.
Parker?
Right.
Wow, you're so energetic.
I know.
Okay.
Well, I have there's a wedding we're going to be at on the 2nd of September. So,
all right.
And we're going to be away from the area, so I need the time to rest afterwards.
Oh, good. Well, you'll be refreshed.
I have to rest up before and after.
All right.
You know?
Gentlemen, before we do the gospel, I ran across an article on the internet that I think is pretty interesting. I want to run this by you guys to get your opinion. 24 foods you hated as a kid but love now. All right, now I have a
How
problem.
Many?
24. I don't know why they come up with 24. This is over at BuzzFeed.
Of course, it's going to be a number in there.
Right. Yeah.
They always have lists.
Right. So now I've got a problem with number one. The very first one on the list, something you hated as a kid but love now, I've got a problem with.
What's that?
Brussels sprouts.
I don't love.
I loved them as a kid. I mean, I know that's weird, but I loved them as a kid.
I didn't love them as a kid, now. And I don't love them now.
Okay. Dave Parker.
Ditto.
All right. Well, this is starting off good. We only got 23 more to go.
Well, what are a few more?
Okay. And I disagree with number two. I don't like this list. Whole wheat bread.
Oh.
I'm growing to like whole wheat bread.
Okay. What is it about? I know my wife Eileen loves it. How do I grow to love it? Because I don't like it.
There is a white wheat, and I forget who makes it. That is a white whole wheat is what it says on the package. And
Is it Wonder Company?
It looks like Wonder, but I don't think it's Wonder.
Right. Okay,
but it looks like
close.
Theirs. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But I'll tell you, my kids even love it.
Whoa.
And so, you know, that's the one thing I tell you is you may want to check out that one if you're not sure. Now, for me personally, every time I go on a trip, whenever I land, for whatever reason, I always go to Wawa, right around the corner from the airport.
Right.
And I always get a hoagie. And so last night, got my hoagie on whole wheat.
Well, there you go. Okay.
And so I actually do like that. And then there's a homeless person there who could use something. So instead of giving him money, I actually got him a hoagie.
With whole wheat
too.
Well, you know what's okay. So far, this is a trend that I don't like to see this trend because so far I don't agree with the things on this list, but you guys do. I'm starting to think I'm abnormal, but we won't go there just yet. Number three, spinach.
I love spinach, but I always loved spinach.
I did too.
I did not like it as a kid, but I like it now.
You like it now? Okay.
Yes.
How about number four, grapefruit?
I liked it as a kid and now.
I liked it more as a kid, but now it's too tart for me sometimes. So I put sugar on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a young kid, I didn't like it, like six and below. But then I think like once I got above that and learned to put sugar on it, then I liked it.
All right, let's look at some of these others. Number five, I do not like this, pesto. It's green, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't give or take. It depends on like what it's with.
Okay.
If it's with something that it needs, like some type of sauce, I'm fine with the pesto. Yeah. If I were just to have pesto by itself, no.
Didn't have it much as a kid, really.
Yeah,
I don't think it was popular.
I had a simplistic, you know.
Yeah. How about
open a can and it's not pesto. No.
Exactly. How about asparagus?
I've always loved asparagus.
Me too.
Me too.
I know my wife likes it too. Coffee.
Ding, 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 ding.
How about coffee? There we go.
I'm a coffee fiend.
We all have our coffee here.
And so that's probably true. I didn't start to like that till teenager.
My parents, when I was a kid, we'd go to McDonald's. They would always order coffee instead of a soda or something. I always thought that was really strange, but I don't do that now. But
the funny thing is, I loved soda as a kid. Now I really don't like soda.
Well, with coffee and my mother's heritage of being a Finnish. From Finland?
Yeah.
I mean, and we grew up in that the Finns were the only coffee drinkers in the world, the premier. And it was like they always had to have, you know, not one or two, but maybe multiple cups of coffee.
Not decaf. I'm always in coffee. There's got to be some spicy stuff in there,
all right,
too.
Yeah,
though.
I'm looking. Okay, let's see. Coffee, dark chocolate.
Oh, man. I had a bad experience with dark chocolate. I mean, when I was a little kid, whatever it was, I thought it was regular chocolate. It was so bitter. I just recently, it's taken me 45 years to get, a little bit of dark chocolate.
Well, let's run through some of these others quickly. I don't see spicy things here. Fish that isn't fish sticks.
That's probably true. Okay. Yeah. I like fish sticks as a kid, but
more bread.
Eggplant.
I liked eggplant as a kid. Eggplant parmesan used to be one of my favorites.
That's not something I like. I know my wife likes it. Avocados. I have no use for avocados. I'm sorry.
I don't think I knew it as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Tomatoes. Why tomatoes? I don't understand how tomatoes make this list.
Yeah. No.
Oatmeal. I liked oatmeal then.
I loved oatmeal
as a kid, and I still love oatmeal.
So do I.
Okay. Salads.
Depends.
Yeah. I would say as a kid, didn't really like it. That was like kind of one of those things that like you would have. The parents would have a salad.
Or you went to a restaurant, and maybe we didn't have a lot of salad
at home. Then I thought it was kind of cool when you're at a restaurant, because that meant I ordered the big kid meal.
Exactly.
the adult meal.
Well, what's not on that list for me? Lima beans.
You don't like them?
No.
Yeah, they're tough. I've tried to like them so many times because I think my dad used to like them.
I liked lima beans as a kid.
Did you really?
I still like lima beans, but I don't have it that often.
Yeah, there's something about them. I found, you know what?
Weird texture.
I went to Cracker Barrel,
Yeah.
They have lima beans there, but they put bacon fat in them.
Ooh.
And, I mean, they are good. If you ever get right,
they are good. I
that's
have them.
That's a good way to have them. And wrapping up before we do the gospel, broccoli. And here's one. I mean, I've always liked broccoli, but here's one that I don't know if anybody likes.
I still don't like broccoli.
I like, okay, I have always liked broccoli.
Here's one that, I don't know, anchovies.
Oh, I hate them.
Nope, never liked them.
I've yet to meet a person that likes anchovies. If you like anchovies, send me an email. Gary at
HolySpiritRadio.org. You're the only person in the world out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've never. Anyway, there you go. Some foods that you hated as a kid but love now.
I just got a picture of the bread.
Oh, okay.
Via text message. If you're looking to get your family into wheat bread without it tasting so much like wheat bread, it's Sara Lee White Whole Grain.
Okay. Yeah.
Is what it's called. And my kids think of it just like white bread, and it's all they want.
Well, I'm going to check it out. Anyway, that was fun, guys. Thank you for indulging me there. Let's look at the gospel today from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." Guys, we've heard this so many times. We've heard this message so many times, I think we're desensitized to it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. We've heard it. Yeah. Do we do it? Frank, you did it last night with the homeless guy.
I tried to do it.
It's hard to do that sometimes.
I will say, even my first reaction was, my immediate reaction to him was, I have no cash. Because I actually don't carry cash that much anymore. I have no cash. And I walked down, I'm like, wait a second. There is something I can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all have those things. It's hard to do it. And truthfully, sometimes I surprise myself when I do it. And then sometimes I'm actually mad at myself after the fact when I don't do it.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly. That's right.
Which is really kind of funny, but it does happen both ways on that.
A little bit of guilt comes in, maybe?
Yeah.
You feel that little, but you know what? That's the way the Holy Spirit works sometimes. Yeah. And if we listen to Him, we always have another chance. And I think the other thing, we've talked about this so many times, social media. Just don't comment the way you want, have that desire. I'm going to rip this person. I'm going to show this person what I think. And then sometimes back off a little and say, am I loving this person as the Lord loves them?
You could have done my speech yesterday.
Right? Maybe I will next time. If I'm free, I'll do it. Hey, when we come back, Monica Hannon will join us to talk about the gift of death. Intrigued? Stay tuned. We'll talk about it.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 25th. Today we celebrate Saint Louis of France. Though crowned at 12, Louis did not rule until he turned 21. At 19, he married Marguerite of Provence, with whom he had 11 children. During Louis's reign, France built great Gothic cathedrals, universities, churches, libraries, hospitals, and orphanages. A man of the people, he united the lords, town folk, peasants, priests, and knights of France by the force of his personality and holiness. After the violence of previous reigns, he brought the nation peace and justice. Every day he invited 13 special guests from among the poor to dine with him. Strong-willed, strong-minded, and devoted to the humble folk of the Lord, he kept lists of the needy in every province of his dominion. As a young man, Louis sailed on a crusade to the Holy Land. His army was victorious at Damietta, but ultimately gave up the city and paid a ransom. Louis stayed in Syria for 4 years. He returned there in 1267 to lead another crusade against the Muslims. With his army decimated by disease, the king died on foreign soil at the age of 41. He was canonized in 1294. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
And that was Gold by Britt Nicole. I'm Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The time at the moment is 7:18. The gift of death. This is, I know, that's a topic we typically don't think of. You think of death, and many, many people, I deal with people all the time, who are very afraid of death. But my next guest is here to talk about the gift of death and how it can be a message of comfort and hope. Monica Hannon joins me right now. She is an award-winning broadcast journalist, and she has written this book. Monica, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Monica, A Gift of Death. Boy, when you hear this title, I think a lot of our listeners are going to cringe and say, what are you talking about? The Gift of Death. How did you decide to write this book?
Well, I have to tell you, it came to me maybe a decade ago. My father was ill,
right,
and he was afraid of dying, and I could not get him to talk about it.
Wow.
And I thought that, you know, if he talked about it, it would help. So I thought, well, you know, he's proud of me, and if I write a book, I know he'll read it.
Right.
So that was kind of the jumping off point for me. You know, after that, it became fascinating to me as well, because I realized that, you know, I had a little bit of an anxiety about it. And I think most people do, of course. And I think when you really delve into it, you realize that death is a gift because there is the gateway to eternal life.
And there you go. And let's talk about this a little bit more. Monica, you were raised Catholic, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
So we do have that belief that death is the gateway to eternal life. What do you think is it about death that scares so many people?
Well, I think that first of all, God puts it there because he wants you to value the life that you have here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a big part of it. But also I think it's the unknown. It's
right.
Just that we have no idea what's really going to happen, and we're so comfortable here. But I do know, after doing all of my research, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good.
Wow. Well, and you really believe that do you feel that the book has changed, doing the research for the book has changed your outlook as well?
Oh, completely.
Wow.
You know, ironically, my dad never had a chance to read the book. He died before it was finished. But if you do read the book, then you realize, you hear that by the time he actually passed away, I know he was no longer afraid either.
Wow. Wow, that's great to hear. Now, let's talk a little bit about the book, the format. Tell me about how the book is laid out and what we can expect if we pick up The Gift of Death.
Well, it is a little bit my father's story, but also I talked to many, many people, religious, priests, ministers,
mm-hmm.
I talked to hospice workers, people who work with the dying, and what I heard was their stories of encounters that they've had with those who have died. There are also some near-death experiences in there, which I think many of us are familiar with,
you know,
and they're fairly classic. And then I have stories of people who have been with the dying and the amazing things that happen leading up to the moment of death. You know, it can be a quiet thing and yet very profound.
Do you find that level of faith makes a difference in terms of one being afraid of dying?
I think it does. I don't know that eliminates people's anxiety
right.
altogether because, as I said, God puts that there for a reason.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you have faith and you go into it with that faith in God, that, the thing that people need to remember is that God loves them so much. All you have to do is reach out and he'll reach back. You don't need to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Did you interview any people in the book who really didn't believe in God?
Or had a limited belief, maybe? Yeah, there were limited beliefs, yes. Yes, I did talk to people who were surprised at how things happened and it did kind of cement their faith. For instance, hospice workers who, in dealing with people who reach out at the end of death, many people reach out and reach towards something or smile. People who've been in profound comas, for instance, will wake up just for those last few minutes and be able to even talk to people, say goodbye, and then
mm-hmm.
reach out. And, once you have that experience, I believe that it's very difficult after that to not believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Now, it's when I look back at my own life, I had two experiences pop into my mind. First is my father, who was diagnosed with lung cancer back in 2002. He died a month later of a heart attack. Totally not the way I planned it. But with my dad, we basically didn't. I mean, my dad believed in God. He went to church each week, but we didn't talk about death. We just tried to ignore it to talk about other things, and I don't know how afraid he was, to be honest with you. He didn't really want to talk about it too much. But my mother-in-law was diagnosed with leukemia about five, six years ago. She passed away after about a six-month struggle. She had a very, very strong faith, and we had that discussion many times. And it's interesting what she said to me. She said, "Gary, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid what comes after. I'm just afraid of the suffering that I'm going to have to go through before there." Have you dealt with people who have said that? "I'm not afraid of the afterlife. I'm not, because I know where I'm going, but I'm just afraid of making it there through the suffering."
Well, I think that's very common. And
all I can
say at that point is, in our the gift of modern medicine, palliative care is very important.
Right.
And it does a lot to bring, it's not going to eliminate suffering completely.
Right.
But also there's I think a lot of people, my father, for instance, wasn't awake. And if he was suffering, there sure wasn't evidence of it. And a lot of times people, you see people who are dying and they seem to be agitated. But
right.
in many cases, according to hospice workers, they're just going through the work. Dying is work.
Okay.
Like, for instance, I have a story of a man who was agitated. He looked like he kept moving his hands and his legs and his arms, and he kept you know, thrashing around in the bed. And so the hospice worker said, well, okay, what did he do for a living? And they said, well, he was a lineman. He was a line worker for the telephone company.
Mm.
So she went in and she said, you know, George, it's time to take a break. It's time for your coffee break. And he immediately stopped thrashing. And he was quiet and calm for exactly 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he started up again because she said he was just kind of reliving and doing the work that he needed to do in order to be ready. So, you know, who knows what kind of purpose that plays, but I think that if you realize the person isn't in pain and suffering, but rather just kind of working toward what they need to do, you know, it gives you a little bit different perspective on it.
Oh,
and
certainly.
And also, as you know, there is purpose to some suffering.
Right, right.
You know, and so nobody wants to do it, but if there's a purpose for it and you know, God is using that, then it might give you a little bit different aspect, too.
It certainly does, because we don't want to waste any of our suffering. That's one of the beautiful things about our Catholic faith, this idea of redemptive suffering and really being able to use it, unite it with the suffering of Christ. Really, really powerful thing. Monica, one of the things I like about the book is that before each chapter, you have a scripture verse. I'm going to read one of them now. And I really like this because in a lot of my books, when I speak about overcoming anxiety, this is the same technique that I use. Because when we hear the Lord speak to us through scripture, he does bring us a lot of comfort. But one of the chapters has this as a start, John 14:3. The words of Jesus, I am indeed going to prepare a place for you, and then I shall come back to take you with me, that where I am, you also may be. Now, that's a great verse. You are someone who works in the news industry, so you deal very much in reality. And this is not the kind of message we hear in the world. We become so overcome by events, by things, by material things, by comfort, that we lose sight of this message of Jesus. Monica, what do we do to be able to remember that this life isn't the end of the story, and it's going to be good one day as long as we stick with the Lord?
Well, I think part of it is prayer and getting to know the Lord,
right.
having a personal, you know, I mean, if you're talking to him every day, then you know he's with you,
yep.
And you can feel him in your life. I think if you're too busy, well, as Mother Teresa said, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that to me has been, I haven't always been what you would call, you know, tuned in. I mean, I've always been a mass goer, I've always been Catholic.
Sure.
But writing the book actually kind of turned me into a revert a little bit in that, you know, God kind of reached out and grabbed me while I was writing the book. And I think that that's a fine example. He takes every opportunity to do that because he wants you. You know, Jesus wants you close. And, you know, so now it's changed my life completely, and I'm talking to him all the time, you know, just constantly. And so I feel definitely like he's right there beside me. And so there is a place for me because, you know, he's just part of my life and he surrounds me. You know, I feel the Holy Spirit all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a big thing, is to turn your attention toward God, and he will grab you, pull you right in.
I agree. I totally agree. The book is A Gift of Death, A Message of Comfort and Hope by Monica Hannon. Monica, where is the best place we can get a copy of the book or maybe find out more about your work?
You can go to my website. It's monicahannon.com.
Okay.
That's all A's and N's on that Hannon there.
Okay.
And also you can pick it up at Amazon.
Wonderful. And what I'll do is I'll make sure that I link that at spiritinthemorning.com so anybody who wants to check it out can check it out. Monica, I want to thank you so much for getting up early to join us here on Spirit in the Morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the chance to talk about it.
You are welcome. God bless you. That was Monica Hannon. Very important topic. Dave, you know that a lot of people are scared about death. It's a frightening thing, but as the Lord tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Be not afraid. That's right. When we come back, Father Jim Sitchko. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Hurricane Harvey continues to intensify as it moves toward the Texas coast, with forecasters saying early today that it's strengthened to a Category 2 storm. The hurricane, with the potential for up to 3 feet of rain, 125-mile-per-hour winds, and 12-foot storm surges, could be the fiercest such storm to hit the United States in almost a dozen years. Pope Francis has declared the liturgical reform of the Second Vatican Council is irreversible. The Holy Father made the statement with magisterial authority yesterday in a speech to participants of the Italian National Liturgical Week. Vatican Radio reports that the Holy Father also made 3 points to reflect on the theme, a living liturgy for a living church. He said that liturgy is living with Christ at the heart of liturgical action, that by its nature, the liturgy is popular, not clerical, and that the liturgy is life, not an idea to be understood. And in Washington, the Republican-led Congress is heading into perilous waters as it faces a debt limit deadline and criticism from President Donald Trump. If lawmakers do not increase the nation's $19.9 trillion borrowing limit by late September, the government could be unable to pay its bills. That could roil the financial markets and lead to other harsh consequences. Trump says Republican lawmakers could have made it easy, but now face what he calls a mess. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
We are live on location from St. Hubert's Catholic High School for Girls in Northeast Philadelphia.
We are live at the Man Up Philly Catholic Men's Conference at St. Joseph's University.
We're at the dining car doing a remote broadcast today. Gary Zimak along with Frank Eliason. We are live at Lansdale Catholic High School this morning. We have a really tough job today. We are live on location coming to you from the Marianne Pastry Shop in Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
We have a lot of fun at Holy Spirit Radio. Part of the recent technology upgrades we have done is the ability to broadcast from anywhere, anytime. We now have the ability to show others living the faith each and every day, whether it is from their school, their business, their church, or other Catholic events they are part of. If there's a place where you would like us to broadcast from, please email me at frank@holyspiritradio.org. Thank you and God bless.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Today I'd like to share an excerpt from a prayer for generosity written by Father Jonathan Morris. Heavenly Father, today I am reminded of Jesus' parable of the rich landowner who decides to build large warehouses to store his earthly possessions. But God replies, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. Lord God, help me to heed the lesson in Jesus' words. Grant me your wisdom and perspective in dealing with not only the money I earn, but also my time, talents, and other possessions. All of these should be and can be used to help others and to glorify you. Amen." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty and you've got no way out, some may call orphans, placing crowns upon their heads. It's the hope for our tomorrows, the rock on which we stand. It's a strong
And that's Call It Grace by Unspoken. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, on the line, we have a regular guest, Father Jim Sitchko, who, by the way, he's going to be coming to the area, Cherry Hill, at St. Mary's Parish, on September the 30th through October the 3rd. Father Jim will be here. He'll be in town, and that's not too far from us right here in the Philadelphia area. So make sure you go out to see Father Jim. Father Jim's going to join us now to talk about how we can find God in the ordinary. Father Jim Sitchko, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And good morning to Philly and all those who are listening through the web. This morning.
That's right. Father, you have people listening all over the world to you because you lift so many people up each and every day.
Oh, well, you're very kind. It's just by using the senses that God has given us, our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears, to recognize that God is present every day in our lives, even as difficult of days it may be, God is with us.
That is such a powerful message. Father, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. You know, you and I don't rehearse these things. We depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us. Are you ready?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. When we open up our Bibles, we look at two examples that just popped into my head this morning as I was driving over. I was asking the Holy Spirit to inspire me. I got two examples in my head. Mary Magdalene weeping at the tomb of Jesus, not realizing that his body wasn't stolen, but that he rose from the dead. That's number one. Number two, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus is walking right beside them, but they are dejected. They are looking downward. They think their world came to an end, completely missing the fact that something good happened. Jesus rose from the dead. Father, we look at those stories. We look at those stories and we say, boy, they were really dumb. They missed it. We do that every day, don't we?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, and let's not forget, those people were with Jesus.
Yeah.
They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him with others. You know, they saw him healing the sick.
Right.
They saw him. I mean, they were actually with him,
mm-hmm.
and yet they still, in a way, could not truly comprehend all that he had to give.
That's right.
Okay. And the same is with us. Let's not forget, we receive him. Those of us who are listening who are Roman Catholic,
yeah.
we receive him in the Eucharist. All right? We receive him in the Word of God. We receive him through one another at church, and we go out the doors, and then we either forget about it,
mm-hmm.
or we think that it doesn't care.
Right.
And in a let me tell you something, in a very powerful way, I always share with people, if you think just going to Mass every weekend is what's going to get you to heaven, you know, you're going to be probably in the smoking section, okay? and you know, what I mean by that is that Mass is a high point. It's a pinnacle.
Yeah.
It's where we all come together. But it's also where we're called to go forth
mm-hmm.
and be Christ to one another and receive Christ from one another. And I would say 9 times out of 10, when I experience Jesus, not always in the people that I would have expected it,
right.
or that are most like me, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing,
yeah.
you know, but, you know, I'm just saying that God is present, God is alive, God is there. I'll give you a unique story
yeah.
that happened. I had been down in Texas, and I did I celebrated a funeral mass of a neighbor of mine. And then, and it was very well attended, and
right.
I spoke some words at the end. And then, the following weekend, I traveled about 5 hours northeast to Manny, Louisiana, which is a very small town in Louisiana. It's in the Diocese of Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was getting ready for Mass, this woman walks out of the restroom, and she looks at me, and she says, oh my gosh, she says, you're Father Jim. And I said, well, yes. And she says, I heard you at the funeral mass this last week.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, okay. She goes, so this is your church? I said, no, this isn't my church. I'm here visiting. And she looked and she said, well, so am I. And she said, says, I can't believe this. And she said, do you know who I am? I said, no. She goes, I'm the mother of one of your best friends who was in kindergarten with you.
Whoa.
And we just started talking and sharing. She said, I have been at church for years, and I just decided to come in and see what it was like and attend Mass. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, there's a lot of those people in our church,
right,
who are dropping in, who are just visiting. My question to you is, how are they received? Are they received with a welcome spirit? Are they received with a Christ spirit? Do we even recognize those strangers in our midst? There are many times for evangelization, you know?
Yeah.
And how are we as churchgoers? When we see someone in the pews who we don't know, do we dare go over after Mass and introduce ourselves?
Ooh. Oh, you're scaring me, Father. No, I don't like that, Father. I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
We're not used to that.
That's right. Which means, guess what? Let's look back at the story of Peter walking on the water.
Right.
Okay. Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. There had to be at least 10 other people in the boat. Oh,
exactly. I agree.
What did they do?
Yeah.
They sat in their comfortable spot.
That's right.
You know, I tell parishioners all the time and people all the time, God forbid someone should sit in our pew in church.
Oh yeah.
What are we going to do?
That's right.
What
are we going to do? That's my pew. And I also don't like to be crowded. Right? I mean, hey, look, you know what? I'll be honest with you, though. That's something that I fight. That's a tendency that I have. It's like, I don't know these people. They're new. Ooh, they never go.
That's right.
They don't belong to this parish.
Yeah, but again, we don't know. Yeah, that's right. And that
right?
And that is a normal response.
Mm.
But see, God doesn't call us to be normal.
There you go. I love that. Father, can I quote you on that? You're so right, though.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Because it's true. God calls us to go out of the boat. God calls us to reach out to those who are less fortunate. God calls us, doesn't call us to forgive those who are unforgivable. You know, and I'll say something, and trust me, I do not ever, and some people get upset with me for this, but I don't get political, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I stand up for the values of our Catholic faith,
right,
and I defend them, the realm. But I'm not going with everything. There has to be balance.
Right.
Okay? And I say the same thing to any political leader that there might be great disdain about or heard about. You know, instead of running our mouth, let's get on our knees and pray.
Exactly.
If God can convert Russia and everything through our Blessed Lady, so can we. Through the power of prayer, through God and all the angels and saints. And so what I'm saying is, we do so much of running our mouths when we can be quiet and be on our knees and praise and thank God and pray.
I totally
and be
agree.
People of prayer.
I agree.
You know?
I agree, Father. We talk about that a lot on this program. We see a lot of this on social media right now, a lot of complaining,
right,
a lot of finger-pointing, but are we praying for the people who are criticizing? And I'm so glad you're preaching that message. Father, we have about 1 minute left in the segment. Cherry Hill, you are coming to St. Mary's Parish September the 30th through October the 3rd. I can't wait. That's not too far from my house. I'm going to buy you a cheesesteak, if that's okay.
I can't wait.
All right.
And then we're going to discuss it on the radio.
That's right. We're going to do that. But I encourage everybody to come out and hear Father Jim, because what you heard right now is what you're going to hear, right? You've got a great message, I'm sure, in store for the people of Cherry Hill.
Oh, I can't wait. Lots of stories, lots of humor. I'm going to use some music, some singing.
All right.
I ask everyone to find out Cherry Hill at the end of September. And the way I say it is this, 60 minutes for Jesus, okay?
Right.
60 minutes. We're going to start right on time. We're going to end right on time. And it's only 60 minutes out of your evening. I know you have got a commute, but you're used to doing that.
That's
Get
right.
out there and make the time.
That's right.
Put it on your calendar now and do it.
That's right, Father. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. You are awesome. I can't wait to meet you in person.
same here, and blessings to all of your listeners, all right, and to you.
All right, thank you so much, Father Jim Sitchko. Man, it's going to be good. Cherry Hill, New Jersey, September the 30th. Be there when we come back. Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 22:34, when the Pharisees asked Jesus which of the commandments in the law is the greatest, he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." They hadn't asked for the second, but Jesus stated it because he saw both as going together. They weren't keen on loving one's neighbor as oneself, unless one's neighbor was considered equal. Certainly, they didn't see the Sadducees as their equal, nor the Romans, nor those who were considered the lower classes, nor their enemies. Our Lord knew this quite well. How well do we know this? How much do we love him? How much do we love our worst enemy? The two are the same question. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay
lived up.
sinner be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken. Lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are, come as you are.
And that was Crowder with Come As You Are. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. All right, are you ready? Feeling a little nervous? It is time for the Be Not Afraid Bold.
Gary, before you get into that.
Yes, sir.
I was asked to air some grievances with you.
Uh-oh.
So
on the air? Can't we talk about this off the air?
You know, but some people took major offense to your statements about anchovies.
Oh, no.
Seriously?
Here we go.
So, you know,
I'm not backing down.
Dale.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Who is this?
Dale, the general manager of Holy Spirit Radio.
I love anchovies.
Oh, wait, man. You fold like a cheap suit.
I sure do, brother.
As well as others who are enjoying waffles at my house today.
Really?
Wanted to sit and point out that they love them on pizza, which I never ordered them on pizza, and I'm the one who does the pizza order, so I'm not certain. As well as
there.
It's Caesar salads. I just kind of want you to know, surprisingly, there is some people you know who seem to love anchovies.
See, I'm fascinated because I never knew anybody who liked anchovies. And Mr. Parker, who's sitting really quiet on the break, I hate anchovies.
I'm waiting for you two to. I'm watching the tennis match.
Because you're going to fold like a cheap suit.
No,
it's
I'm
your
not.
Turn.
No,
because I know you.
Open the door.
Parker.
I'm running out.
All right, Parker.
No, I'm going to say. First exposure to anchovies.
There we go.
Was on pizza, and I had never tried them, and I thought, oh, that's not going to be bad. Oh, they were so salty, and so now, I mean, kind of a running joke is I don't want any salty dead little fish on my pizzas. That's how, I mean, or my salads. I mean, I don't do a lot of salt, and
so what is your opinion on anchovies? You still don't like them, even though the management of Holy Spirit Radio,
yes,
loves anchovies.
Yeah.
What do you think?
But I still don't like them. I can't change my
Radiothon, we're going to have Caesar salads with anchovies and pizza with anchovies on the same day.
Dale,
to give everybody just a choice of anchovies.
Dale, brother, I love you. You know, and I just can't go there.
Do I have time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse? We also have a tweet from the Pope that I want to get. Yeah, let me do this. This is quick. Exodus 17, verse 12. Moses' hands grew tired, so they took a rock and put it under him, and he sat on it. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. What's going on in this verse? The Israelites are under attack. Moses is growing weary, and his hands are, he's trying to lift his hands up in prayer, and he needs help from his friends. What's the point? Turn to your friends. Intercessory prayer. If you're struggling today, don't bear your burden alone.
Exactly.
You know, you can notify Holy Spirit Radio. We'll put you on our prayer list. You can call your friends. Ask for help. Ask for people to pray for you. It is powerful. Don't suffer alone.
Exactly.
So, I totally agree. And, you know, we're all
right,
in this
and we
together.
Do that, Frank.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
We're all in
yes.
this together. Now, the Pope has a couple tweets. So when I first looked at this earlier today, he seems to tweet during our show. We have to encourage him to actually just listen to our show.
Yeah, really.
And maybe tweet afterwards. Want
to get in touch with him and we'll
yeah,
find
exactly.
Out.
Okay.
We'll see what we can
after
do about
the show.
That, right?
About, what, 6 hours ahead?
Why haven't you got him on as a guest
I'm
yet?
Working on it. I'm working.
You can get all the guests you want.
So his tweet today, I'll read first, and then I want to get to his tweet from yesterday, which was really powerful. But today, being men and women of the church means being men and women of communion.
Whoa.
So that was today's tweet. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday's tweet, and ties to what we talked about earlier, ties to actually the speech I just gave.
Yeah.
Humanity needs hope in order to live and needs the Holy Spirit in order to hope.
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that like
that sounds like another motto for our station? Can we?
It's an incredible
statement.
Is that
copyrighted?
Because we, in so many ways, society has lost hope. So many people are hopeless out there.
Exactly, exactly. And it's one of those things that we talk about often on this show is about bringing people hope. But you know what? It's the Holy Spirit that needs
to
bring
our mission.
Hope.
That's right.
Oh, wait, this is Holy Spirit Radio.
Hey,
that's what we're about.
Wait a minute. This is Spirit in the Morning.
But this is what humanity needs.
That's right.
I see it every day in social media. I see it every day, actually, just around people in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And the divisions that we have and everything else.
Yeah. One-on-one, we can bring hope to people that might be forlorn. Or
we all can, right, Dave?
We all
not
can.
Just us on the radio.
Oh, yeah,
we're here to inspire you to go out there and be Jesus to somebody. Be
exactly.
that hope. That's
exactly.
what Father Jim was just talking about.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel talked about. We need to see.
Lift people up.
We need to lift people up, and we need to treat others as we want to be treated.
That's right.
And that's it's a challenge sometimes. Well, boys, we are going on vacation.
Yes, we are.
Where are we going?
Are we in Chicago? Well, we'll be over.
Are we there yet?
No pizza with anchovies, all right? Or no
sandwich. That's right. That's
I can't
right.
get anchovies.
That's
out
a
of my
funny
mind
thought.
Now.
The three of us taking a road trip somewhere, but we're not going all together. We're just going to take a break from the program. We will have best ofs all next week
that's
and
right.
Labor Day. We will be back after
me,
Labor Day.
You know, my, yeah.
Recharge our batteries, but keep listening because we will be bringing you the best of Spirit in the Morning all next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some great music shows that are going to be played and some repeats of some good interviews.
Yes.
Well, anyway, it's been great being with the two of you.
Wait a minute. Wow.
I put my glasses on.
You do there. Need a vacation.
Yeah, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, there are only two of you here.
All right.
I have trouble
Likewise.
With my glasses sometimes. Anyway, it's been a good show, good week on Spirit in the Morning. I want to thank Monica Hannon and Father Jim Sitchko for joining us on the program today. Remember, Father Jim is coming to Cherry Hill. Don't forget that. Also, don't forget that wherever you go today, the Lord's with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. On behalf of Dave Parker, Frank Eliason, this is Gary Zimak saying God bless you. Thanks for listening.